part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Gentlemen across the nation, I have an urgent message for you. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. The brand that took your balls to space is now launching them into the ultrasphere. Introducing the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, featuring a new cutting-edge design and next-generation dual skin-safe blade heads for different shaves.
It's pretty much a spaceship to take your boys downstairs to the next level. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Just go to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code PRESSPLAY. High tech for low places. Manscaped.
Hello, 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 hello.
It's a lot of hellos, man.
Yep.
Okay.
This is the Ball Card Show, the sports podcast.
For the sports collector.
I'm Jason Otero.
I'm Gary LaMaster.
And as always, we are brought to you by the Press
Play
Podcast
Network.
I was requested to sing.
No, not on this. You were requested to sing on a
TikTok
video.
We tell people.
No, a specific
to go to
request.
Our social media.
It was a specific request
from a dedicated fan
for a TikTok for you to sing, not on the actual podcast. We've had enough of that.
From a dedicated fan that sold me probably 150 Mac Jones rookie cards a couple years ago.
Yeah. He made out like a bandit.
So how could I not?
Woo!
How could I not also sing for him while
Please
I'm
don't.
At it?
I'm begging.
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em.
This is your fault.
Know when to walk away.
Remember this the next time you make a request.
To run. You better. Come on.
This
you
is
love
what
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, but not when you sing it.
I'm going to go to Dolly Parton if you don't.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'll skip straight over.
Islands in the stream.
There we go.
That is what we are.
Yeah, come on.
That's only the words of that song. Yeah, I can do that. I can just make noises.
To another song. And to uh-huh. Talking cards with my brother. You're a real tough guy for a guy wearing a Care Bear shirt. Careful, I'm grumpy.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, buddy.
Picture.
I had this conversation with my wife earlier. She said something because I had this outfit on, and I had my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle socks on.
Okay.
And I had a pair of Nike slides on. And she went, are you really leaving the house like that? And I went, I mean, it's a little rainy, so I might put shoes on, but yeah.
You know, I started to push it a little more, not because it's things that I like, but the older I get, the more admiration I have. Like when I was a kid, old guys wore like the 70s. Polyester itchy plaid pants.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I would never. And now I'm like, oh, I don't care anymore.
No, that's what I told her. I was like,
unless I'm going to embarrass my family when we go somewhere, I don't care.
I don't even care then.
Well, that would be a defining difference between the
yes,
two of us.
Yes, I told her. I said, there is an incalculable amount of freedom and just
how
like
much freedom?
Weight falling off of your shoulders. When you truly reach the point where you don't give a shit what other people think about you.
There's one. You have up to three per episode.
What?
Swear words.
Oh.
You've been a lot more aggressive.
Do I get a naughty mark? Do I get a report card
no,
sent
but
home?
That's, no, but you're a shapeshifter. What's the other word for shapeshifter? Skin.
I don't know. This is weird.
What's the sci-fi thing where they turn into other... Is it just called shapeshifter?
I think so, yeah.
There's another word for it. Skinwalker.
Oh.
You're becoming the skinwalker of Skip Bayless.
Oh, I hate
One
you. Don't ever say that again.
No,
because Skip Bayless doesn't say angsty things. He says stupid things.
Oh.
I try really hard not to say stupid things. Speaking of, though, I am going to take about probably 60 seconds here to extol the virtues of McDonald's.
Oh, yes. By the way, we are going to talk about sport cards. Sport
eventually,
cards.
Yeah.
Sport cards.
But this is really important. This is like a public service announcement for all of you. I don't eat at McDonald's a lot for lots of reasons. But this morning, I went to my normal gas station because if I have a choice between like gas station roller grill breakfast or McDonald's, I'm going to take gas station roller grill breakfast. It's just better. But they didn't have any of the stuff I like. So I was like, well, I guess I got to go to McDonald's. Thank God that this happened, because I pull into McDonald's and what do I see on the screen? Guys, gals, hope you're sitting down. McDonald's has brought back the steak, egg, and cheese breakfast bagel, and it was glorious. Now, my order on the steak, egg, and cheese breakfast bagel is, I'll take that, but I don't want the egg. So you just get this warm, toasted bagel with two slices of American cheese, piece of steak, well tenderized, some grilled onions. I had two of those this morning. I could take a nap right now. It would be a great, great day. So make your run before 10:30 a.m. to your local McDonald's and get you one.
Yeah, if McDonald's wants to pay us for that, that would be awesome too.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But either way, it's just, I feel like I owe it to our listening base to make them aware when something glorious returns to a drive-through near them.
That's fair, and we appreciate you for it.
What I'm really enjoying is that I'm over here passionately sharing this riff, and you're just digging through this box of cards that you forgot that you even had, and you're just absolutely pulling out loads and loads of stuff. It's kind of fun.
Yep. Sorry, was it rude?
I mean, just a little bit. It's okay.
The thing is, people assumed I was giving you undivided attention. They can't see it, so when you tell them that I'm ignoring what you're saying, it makes me look bad.
Yeah. But if you're like me, you wouldn't care if you looked back.
What's the second time I've heard you talk? I can only listen to so many discussions about McDonald's breakfast sandwiches.
Steak, egg, and cheese breakfast bagel, no egg. Steak delicious. And yeah. Steak and cheese with some grilled onions.
Are there grilled onions in it?
Delicious.
All right, great. Let's continue. And what do you say we take a shift to the sports card realm?
Okay.
Big news this week. One, we'll go ahead if you haven't heard the update. It looks pretty obvious that Shohei wasn't gambling, just like I said, and Gary did not.
Wow.
I just knew you wanted to do that so badly that I took it away from you.
Yeah, it was. It's been really fun the last 24 hours on social, watching people either go completely silent, not engage with the new information at all because they were so vociferous that he was some kind of gambling mastermind, or, and this is my favorite, now that the correct information and everything is out there, these people are now so entrenched that they were correct, that the only possible reality here is not that they're wrong, not that federal investigators are right, but that it's all a big cover-up. It's just the deep state at work in Major League Baseball. It's not enough for the deep state to be at work in our government. They have to be at work in Major League Baseball as well, because the protection of Shohei Ohtani is of utmost importance.
Yeah, there was like a tone of baseball wouldn't survive without Shohei.
Yeah, it was the dumbest thing ever. And so
listen, baseball will keep limping along on its own just
right,
fine.
Exactly. I think that, this was all, if you have basic critical thinking skills, this was all pretty obvious what was going on. And exactly what I said is what has come out in all of these court filings.
That's really what Gary wanted to say. That
yeah,
last
100%.
Was all he 100%.
Cared about saying. Literally, this guy was robbing Ohtani blind. He was impersonating Ohtani to call the bank. He was to authorized wire transfers. He was lying the whole time. It was just bad. This dude was completely robbing his friend blind. And I have yet to see anybody show an ounce of sympathy to the victim in this situation. It's mind-blowing to me.
That is kind of true.
It's mind-blowing to me. This dude
cares.
Got robbed of $16.5 million. And on one hand, you've got these morons out here going, how could you not miss $16.5 million? I mean, he had to know what was going on, blah, blah, blah. And then those same people show no sympathy for the fact that this guy has lost $16 million. Like, it's not a big deal for him to lose $16 million. Which one is it? Is it either obvious because it's such a large number, or is it not that big of a deal because he has so much money? Which one is it?
Quick question. What do you enjoy more, a steak and egg bagel or being right about something people are debating about? I'll answer it for you. You would skip the bagel every day.
In a perfect world, I would rub the bagel on my naked chest while I was being right. That would be like,
you know, sometimes you get
perfect
more,
world.
Sometimes you get more than you ask for.
That would be my perfect world.
Listeners at home, whether you believe me or not, that would be the second time I've seen Gary rub food on his chest.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I did not.
It was a fried tomato, wasn't it?
Well, first off, we're in New Orleans.
We were in New Orleans. It was late. There may or may not have been beverages consumed.
And Gary said, if these fried green tomatoes are good, I'm going to rub them on my nipples. And I said, I bet you won't.
That was the wrong thing to
say. No, that was the right thing to say. I just wanted him to actually consider that he wasn't speaking an allegory or metaphor. And I'll be darned if in a family restaurant, Gary didn't unbutton his shirt and put freshly fried. Those things are hot.
They were toasty. They were so good.
The man has no hair on his nipples anymore.
No, it was so good, though. They were so good.
So for those of you eating steak and
out of your head.
Yeah, that would be your lucky day to hear that story.
Oh, gosh, that's funny.
This is a train wreck of an episode.
I disagree. I think we are providing high-level entertainment value for people right now.
So, yeah, this is the first time that I have gone through stuff and found a box of things that I hadn't gone through, or I'd like picked up several little chunks of $1 stuff, $5 stuff over the last couple years.
Just shoved it in a box.
Yeah, and it ended up in a box, and I'm having a blast digging through it. It looks like most of the stuff was like 2019, maybe 2020, and then a bunch of like mid-90s to early 2000s.
Which
rookies.
Is our like sweet spot.
Yeah, I probably got 200 cards here that I'm kind of excited about pricing out now.
Yeah, they all look like they're going to be anywhere from $2 to $5 a piece.
So this is your reminder to go grab, you know, what you got out there. And you might have a box with some surprises in it, is all I'm saying.
That's my thing with Bowman all the time. Like, I just go back every couple years through my previous 2-3 years worth of Bowman stuff, and I'm always pulling out stuff that'll sell for $3 to $10. It's fun. Like, if you've been collecting for a while, like Jason said, you probably have some of these boxes just sitting, and it's always fun to go back and dig because you're going to find stuff.
And then there's, like, new stuff in here, too, that I didn't know that I had. I wish I paid attention to NBA. I have no idea other than Wimby who to look for in this product. But I digress. I should probably pay attention here. Let's talk about the other big news. So there's just been a ton of moving around in the hobby with the big players, acquisitions, lawsuits, a lot of throwing shade, a lot of like high school drama over this. But the news that came out just yesterday, if you're listening to this the day it drops, is that eBay has acquired Golden from collectors?
Yes.
Okay, so obviously, unless you're under a rock, King Golden, Golden Auctions has, you know, a lot of the higher end, the really, really big stuff that you see. They also have a weekly auction that you can find some pretty cool stuff on and almost do like a retail arbitrage.
And good
if you're
prices,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk through what this may or may not mean. Why first does eBay want Golden? Well, it's a competitor of sorts. eBay, in my opinion, with collectors that have been around a little while, with some of their cards, you know, you still have a good bit of stuff that moves on there, the majority, but there has been a little bit of hesitation with eBay over some people getting screwed over as sellers over the years. eBay puts an authentication thing in place where cards over a certain value, we're going to authenticate to make sure they're legit. It also puts a safeguard in place for the seller. And we've seen eBay trying to do things for the collector. Things like offering different shipping promotions, like the different envelopes that you can do with that, protecting them up to $20, you know, for the lower end stuff to move. But now we see them spending some money on a big player. So, Gary, break down for us what this might mean, why they would go after that, and then what, you know, there's conversations of what this could mean in regards to PSA brand brought into that conversation as well.
So what we know right now, none of the financial details have been disclosed, but much like the recent collector's acquisition of SGC, what is being said is that eBay is buying Golden. Golden will continue to operate as an independent entity. Ken Golden will stay on as the CEO, much like he did when collectors bought out Golden. A lot of people don't realize Ken Golden already executed his golden parachute. Like, he had his exit already when collectors bought Golden, and that he got his cash and got to stay on a CEO with a salary and all that good stuff. It sounds like that's at least in the short and intermediate term what the plan is now. The interesting part to this is that part of this deal is that PSA now owns the eBay vault.
Walk people through, what is the eBay vault?
So the eBay vault is, if you buy a graded card on eBay, you can have that card shipped directly to the eBay vault, and they'll store it for you. And now, once that happens, it's a situation where when that card is sold, if the person buying it also wants to keep it in the eBay vault, it'll just transfer the ownership number. Nothing will get shipped anywhere. The transaction will be completed as it is. You'll get your money immediately. The idea of vaulting isn't new. PWCC had a vault. Like, vaulting isn't new. I don't personally utilize vaulting. I like to, and this makes me sound really old, but if I own something, I like to be able to pick it up and touch it and feel it and do what I want to with it. Not have it at somebody else's.
Oh, well, part of that was too
you like
much.
That?
No, I did not.
I don't want it to be in somebody else's possession. I don't want it to be at risk somewhere else. And I know that there's insurance and things that cover that, but that isn't the point. I'm a control freak, so I don't want my property being controlled by somebody else.
Say that again.
I think everybody already knows.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward. But one of the things that has been tossed around in this is that it sounds like one of the goals for this is that people are able to sell cards while they are in the process of being graded at PSA, which seems to me like an absolute just really bad situation waiting to happen. Did you see what I did there? I paused, found words other than words that you find objectionable.
I don't find that out. I've had my fair share of those in here. I just want you to expand your vocabulary if you're ever going to be like Stephen A. Smith.
So, long story short, I think that seems like a really bad idea that could cause real problems. If I have a card sitting at PSA and I sell it and the person buys it and then it comes back a 10, did I lose money in that process? Like, what's the point of even doing that? And if it comes back a 5, the person that bought it gets, you know, shafted. It's just one of those things that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me unless they put some safeguards in it. Like, well, once the grade has been assigned and it still has a week or so in production to get, you know, slabbed and then shipped out, maybe then, but like from the rip, it just seems like a bad idea.
So one thing that's a little surprising to me is it hasn't been, okay, I do a lot of eBay, tons of eBay. I do not do cards on eBay. I'm considering getting back into it, but there's good reason for it. But there are things that you need to do as an eBay seller to keep your metrics running, to keep producing the same amount of sales. For eBay wants to like you enough to push you to move about 1% to 2% of your inventory daily. Now, highly collectible, super high sell-through rate items, like cards, can, you know, you could obviously do more than 1% to 2% of your inventory. However, one of the biggest red flags I can get. So I sell a lot of apparel, collectibles, a little bit of antique stuff, but mostly apparel. If I falsely advertise the condition of an item and a buyer receives it and says, this item is not as described, that is, and I want to debate them on it. First off, eBay is going to side with the buyer just about like 99% of the time, right? Even if you have good photos, but you say in the description, excellent condition, and there's a small stain, and you do not note the stain, eBay is going to side with them. Now, if eBay has to step in and decide for you because you both cannot come to an agreement, and it is an item not as described, that is a really harsh flag thrown on your account. If you get a few of those, they will throttle you to the point where they'll limit the number of listings. They'll charge you different fees. But the first thing you're going to see happen is you basically get throttled to where your daily sales plummet because they are not going to promote the risk of that. Their competitor is Amazon, whose customer service is incredible, who just tells you to keep it and here's your refund. you know, and so here's what I'm interested to see. The nice thing about selling a graded card is it's basically new. It's considered new condition. So nobody can argue this isn't a 7. But you, I'm wondering if this is going to open the door for buyers, if there's going to be a window of people kind of scamming or taking advantage. Because if you go through raw cards now, like you can go through, like, let's say 68 tops, right? I just picked up a Superstars card. It's on the way of the Mantle, Maze, and Killebrew, right? So I was looking up comps on that. And it blew my mind how many of these raw cards would say EX, Mint Minus, Near Mint, Grade Worthy, Sharp Corners, blah, blah, blah. Once people catch on to this and there's going to be a standard for these being graded, or this has been submitted to PSA, it has a grade of a 5, right? Can't argue with that. But I'm wondering if once this happens, people are going to take advantage of these raw listings that have been up. Like a vintage card would be a good example of that. You have some bigger vintage cards that have been sitting on eBay. Somebody is really okay waiting 2 years for it to sell for $250, even if everybody else is selling them for $200, right? I'm wondering if people aren't going to buy these up and then say, hey, this wasn't the condition you described, and then shake down the sellers for either, hey, if you give me 50% off, I won't submit a claim. You see where I'm heading with this? Like the slabs can protect it, but right now there's a lot of bad descriptions out there on raw cards.
See, I think that on eBay, and you know more about this than I do, so if I'm saying something wrong here, tell me. I don't sell on eBay, like, really at all. I very rarely buy on eBay. But my understanding is if I open an item not as described case, the seller can also say, hey, no problem. Without eBay stepping in, say, hey, no problem. I'm happy to give you a full refund as soon as I get the card back.
Yes.
And that eliminates that. There's no shakedown at that point. If the buyer then goes, well, I don't want to send the card back, I just want money back. At that point, as a seller, you can tell eBay, hey, I'm not interested in giving them a partial refund. I just told them I'd take the merchandise back. That won't give you a negative to your account, right?
Correct. So you can, but it's more complicated than that.
Okay.
It is true that that would be a claim that was resolved between the buyer and seller, which is always looked on favorably.
Right.
However, let's say that I have, you know, especially with these card scanners now, there's a lot of people that have inventories of 1,500, 2,000, 5,000 cards.
Burbank has quarter of a million cards.
Yeah, that's listed, the biggest, right? But there's going to be a lot more of that. But if I was using keywords like mint or gradable or blah, 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 should be in the title, and maybe 25% of my cards have that, while eBay may not penalize you technically, your sales volume is going to decrease because there are open claims.
So what you're saying is sellers, don't be dummies.
Don't be dummies and be ready for harsher consequences for claims. So, like,
is there something to this, though? Like, because this is something that I think gets really lost in translation here, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong. And I know you will. I think that there are a lot of people in the card collecting community who don't actually know what those things mean.
Right.
Like, EX is a PSA 4. If I say something that is EX plus, I'm saying it's a PSA 4 or better.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that that means it's a PSA 8, yeah, maybe a PSA 9. It's not. And when it goes to authentication, they are going to judge it based on what those descriptors actually mean. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people don't realize if I say a card is good, that's a 2. That's a PSA 2. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's part of it too. I think that a lot of times buyers don't know what the things they buy. I don't think that they know what those descriptors mean. And the flip side of that with a seller is, hey, I told you exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault that you don't know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I think you're right. And I think it has to do with a lot of newer collectors now.
Oh, for sure.
There's one other hobby I collect in, not as heavily as I used to, but I have a pretty extensive collection of records. And there's some really nice ones and some pretty valuable ones in there. there is a golden standard for grading records. And I can tell you this, you better know exactly what VG+, VG++, near mint minus, and mint or excellent means on a record. Fair, poor. Like, if you don't get that right, it is getting returned immediately. Condition is so big, and it can be a tiny thing in one groove, but you miss that.
Yeah.
And it's a big flag. So I think you're right. Maybe it would help standardize a little bit. A lot of people don't understand what those mean. You see them on a lot of vintage cards, which I don't think is the majority of what's moving on eBay.
No, but like if you see something on, so just as a quick, you know, just a quick rundown. If somebody says something is gem mint, you could assume that they are saying it's a PSA 10. Mint is a 9. Near mint to mint is an 8. Near mint is a 7. Excellent to mint is a PSA 6. Excellent is a 5. VGEX is a 4. VG is a 3. Good is a 2. Fair is a 1.5. And poor is a 1.
So VG slash EX is a 4. Is that what you
correct.
Said?
Correct. Yeah.
And on vintage cards, depending on the card, that's not a bad grade.
No,
right?
Not at all. And you'll see a lot of them listed that way, even if they're better, because the seller's trying to avoid the issue you're talking about.
Yeah. So the thing to consider, too, is this. eBay, so I sell you a card and I said that it was near mint and it's clearly probably a 4, right? And you say, hey, this is not the condition you described. And I say, okay, send it back to me. That's going to take about a week. eBay is going to be, hold on, let's make sure that Gary handles this customer well. They'll never advertise this. They'll never put it in their policies, but I can tell you with certainty, and even in the networks I'm in that do reselling, thousands of people, during that time, your volume and your conversion rate is going to decrease significantly. They're going to watch and see. And the problem is this. You can do everything right and just have people that will say, I'm going to submit every card I get and say that item is not as described because 2 out of 10 of these are going to either tell me to keep the card or give me half off.
Right.
And so they can't say they're going to extort you with a bad review, but it can greatly affect it. So there's intricacies in buying and selling with eBay with a store, and I'm wondering if this will have any kind of impact or bearing on it.
So is the strategy,
especially the raw market.
Is the strategy then, in your mind, if you want to sell cards on eBay, is the strategy to stick with the $20 and under market, PWE, eBay standard shipping, and call it a day? Or that plus just graded stuff and avoid raw stuff over $20?
If you're selling, just know that it's a risk. I think you can look at somebody's store and look through their reviews. You can see if they have, like for me, anything under a 98% positive feedback. And I'm like, okay, let me see what it is. Now, it's possible one buyer bought 20 cards and was mad at the seller and just gave him a bad review on all of them.
Right.
But you'll be able to see that if it's the same person.
Does also eBay now, ever give you the benefit of the doubt once you've established?
They say they do.
Okay.
The one thing that they did add was sellers can now reply to bad feedback.
I wish they would let sellers leave bad feedback for buyers. Because I think what happens in the card
world, you can
world,
leave feedback for the buyer.
But it's positive only. You can't mark it as negative. Now, you can say negative things in the feedback, but it's going to show up as positive feedback. I think that happens. One of the biggest problems for me, and it's one of the biggest reasons I don't sell on eBay, is I don't have the desire to sell low-end stuff. So if I'm going to sell stuff, I'm going to sell nice stuff because it's the only thing that makes sense to me. Otherwise, I'll just sell like I do now on shows and on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But I think that one of the things that really deters people is how often people are just trying to create new comps with no intention of actually buying anything. I can't tell you how many times I see people like, oh, this card sold for, you know, $3,200. Well, when you go check to Terapeak, it was never paid for. And it's just somebody's shilling to set a new comp for their card. Guys come in at the last minute. They have a card for sale. They want it to sell for what they want to sell it for. So they'll come in and just bump that auction and never pay for it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a bigger issue. And eBay doesn't do anything about that. They couldn't care less.
Yeah. Now, talking to a couple people that do a ton of cards on eBay, and I'm even in a monthly call with people that do this full time that are just doing cards. because I really like picking their brain. Most of them are on eBay. And they say, if you have the right stuff, collectors are really there for you. So I would say this. The most safe product to sell is in a slab. Okay?
Okay.
You can't debate it on that. You better ship it right.
Yep.
Don't be lazy on your ship and put it in a box. Pay for a box and charge for it in your shipping, right?
Yeah. Or if you're going to ship it in a bubble, package it properly between two pieces of cardboard. Get, if you don't want to cut your own cardboard, there's some companies out there that literally make corrugated plastic pieces that are cheap for you to use as packing material.
So I would say yes with that. Raw, probably up to $20. Vintage raw is where you'll kind of have to be careful. Be ready for sellers to have a lot of questions. Vintage collectors, I mean, that's what makes this weird. They're less concerned a lot of times with the number and more concerned with the presentation.
Correct.
The color, the edges and all that. The back of the card, you're going to ask for that more. So just be ready for it. My big thing is there may be an upside here and there may be a play for people that invest and are getting inventory. If they said there was an option to submit to grading with the purchase, right? So let's say it's in the vault. I want to buy this, and I want to go ahead and give eBay another $20 to go ahead and grade it, okay? And then I'll decide if I want to keep it in the vault or send it to me. I would kind of like to play that game because I have a little bit of a chance to take a look at the card. Here's my concern, though, because there's going to be a lot. There's going to be – you're going to watch a lot more sixes and sevens pop up if this happens. Because you cannot look at the surface. There is no way you can have a clue, unless it's severely damaged, what the surface on a card is going to be.
Unless occasionally you get a seller who's extremely conscientious and takes lots of close-up photos from different angles, but very rarely. Most people are trying to hide imperfections when they take pictures.
Now we're going to be back in that situation again where it's like you said, they said. So what is, if this happens, what would eBay do to protect the seller? You have no way. You're just answering questions. You don't know what's going to happen.
My
opinion
is that eBay doesn't care about the sellers
for
the most part.
And that's going to be the issue. So I have good customer service and say, let me take a few more shots. I'll put a light on this card. I'll try to catch the surface. But let's say I miss, like, what's a really common thing people will miss? Oh, yeah. So, like, the stamping on a Chrome card, it can be off from the image. What do they call that? Ghost stamp or whatever?
Yeah.
That's a really common thing that happens. A product that this happened a ton on was that NBA Hoops Premium.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With the Jaw and the Zions. I remember I sent off a Zion that was like $130 raw, and it came back a six because the stamp was not in line.
Was offset,
with the
like an eighth of an inch, yeah.
That's something that could easily be missed with a photo. So am I going to go back to the seller and say, you sent photos and you told me it was it looked pretty clean. How is it pretty clean if it got a six? And eBay's going to say, well, what are you going to do about this, seller? And I'm going to say, as a buyer, well, I only bought this because I thought it could blah, 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 blah. Now it's in a slab. What does the return look like? Who's going to pay me my $20
back? Well, that's
back?
Yeah, that's the, like, it's that's gonna the get question. Weird. That's where it really falls in, where I think that what they're talking about seems like a very bad idea, unless they're going to put real seller protections in place. Like, the only thing eBay's done for sellers in the last 5 years of sports cards that has been a net positive for sellers is they eliminated the buyer's remorse. Like, you have 3 days for a buyer's remorse claim. After that, it has to fall under something else.
Here's where it gets tricky. If you want to be a top-rated seller, you must offer at least 30-day free returns. Now, you can have listings where you do not offer that service, but if I wanted to have that top-rated seller badge beside me, that means I'm going to ship it within the next 2 days. I think it's the next day. I'm shipping it within one business day, and I'm offering at least 30-day free returns. I will not do that with cards that have a high probability, like a raw card. I would not offer that. So in that case, I wouldn't be a top rated seller. I can set my own metrics. I don't get that little bit of a discount on fees that I do with other stuff, but it doesn't incentivize your best customer service to, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of ways this can go wrong is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't see a ton of upside on that. I love the idea of being able to submit something to grading without seeing it, but at least when you do that in a break, if you trust the guy that's breaking it, which is hard to come by these days too,
say,
hey, if you don't think this has a chance at a nine, don't even send it.
Right.
So Anyway, I didn't know we were going to get that into eBay in the weeds there.
No, I mean, we've cracked out a whole episode here.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll tell them that we're about to wrap up then. Before we do that, let's do a couple updates. So, one, we have the 5K challenge update. If you haven't heard about it in a few weeks, it's because Gary and I have just
stalled.
We're perplexed.
Anybody want an Arenado purple color match?
Or
PSA
a TJ
10?
Watt rookie auto color match as well.
Yeah, that's a pop too. Like, if so, hit us up because we'll make you good deals.
Last week I had somebody pick it up in the showcase, and then they grabbed the Manny Machado to 62, and I was like, all right, finally. We're going to do a bundle deal here. We'll get this sold. And they're like, I just didn't plan on spending this much money. They were coming to dig dollar boxes. And I said, well, there's an ATM just down the hall. And they said, I'll be right back, and they never came back. So we're in a spot where, if you followed it, we had several transactions. We've hit this like $350 to what, $600 range.
Yeah.
And the stuff we picked up, I think we got a little too smart and too smart for our own good here, of like clever, of like, this is a color match Arenado 10. You're not going to see a lot of these. This is a few years old. And you were like, these Watt autos are hard to come by.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of products even did this in. This is low pop. But is it liquid? And I think that is what we have screwed up on. So we want to keep this challenge moving. We're going to do this. We have a show coming up in Washington, PA.
Big one.
Yeah, the weekend of Cinco de Mayo. And if we do not move our cards through there, we are going to put an exception in so that we can keep this challenge moving.
Buy them from ourselves.
We'll buy them from ourselves at the price we paid for them, not the price we think we can get out of them.
Correct.
So once we do that, then we'll just reposition and buy again. And you know what will happen the next week or two? They'll sell.
They'll sell, yeah, probably.
But that won't be our problem then. So that's our plan. I mean, that gives us another 3 or 4 weeks. I've got a show between now and then. You probably have a you're going to be out of town.
I'm on vacation, bro.
So.
After we got one more episode this month before I go on vacation, you guys are going to get this episode. You'll get one next week, and then we'll have a week off.
Yep. So anyway, be paying attention for that. Anybody that's an Arenado or Watt collector, hit us up on the socials. We would love to make a deal, and I guarantee you we both would be interested in making a deal.
Yes.
We had a number in mind. Now, like, we, more important than money to us is our pride.
And moving forward. Like, yes. I feel like we're just, like, feet in concrete right now. Just
like,
stuck.
When I beat Gary, and I'm the underdog here, we know this. When I step up bottom of the ninth, and they're like, oh, great. It's game seven. What's Aaron Boone going to do? You know what I mean? Like, this guy's been in the league for a minute, and I'm like, I've got one swing left, guys. And I put that over the left field wall, and I dropped to a knee on the swing because I'm that committed. And we are not talking about a $1,000 card, but no, we've gone. And Gary's card that lost is worth $3,000, and he has to give me enough money that it hurts. I'll be the first one to be sending you a little tip and a thank you for buying my Nolan Arenado. That's my elevator pitch.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay. I guess that's a good way to wrap it up. It's been the
No, we got one more. We got one more. One more thing.
What?
Fanatics. We've got this event coming up. The same time.
Oh, it's the East Coast National.
Yeah.
It's a three-day event, and it's going to have lots of celebrities. It's like $475 for a ticket to the three-day event. However, that does not include any of the meet and greets with the famous people that are going to be there. Because, like, Tom Brady is going to be there. Like, it's going to be...
Have they announced any signatures yet?
No, but there's going to be, like, product drops and, like, random things. I think it'll be a fun event, but I think if you're going to go experience the whole thing, it's not going to cost you $473. It's probably going to cost you more like $2,000 or $3,000.
I wonder if I can use fan cash on that.
I bet you could for the actual ticket. I doubt you could for the stuff on the inside there. But yeah.
All right, now we're done. This has been the Ball Card Show, the sports podcast.
For the sports collector.
Bye now.
Peace.
If you've been in an accident and your car needs a little TLC, look no further than Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body. Safe and reliable collision repairs are their business.
They are a local, family-run, and veteran-owned business serving the Newark, Zanesville, and surrounding areas. And guess what? They work with all insurance providers to make your experience hassle-free. Plus, make sure to ask about their special discounts for U.S. military veterans.
Visit them today at autobodyofnewark.com and autobodyofzanesville.com to get your repair started.
Their iCar Gold Class team of skilled collision repair technicians will make your vehicle just like new again.